You have a word for each and every person here today. May we hear your voice in this prayer today, God.
Our Father, we come to you this Lenten season as a church who has put its hope in you. Like the saints of old, we will come to you in worship and prayer to seek and experience your presence, to find our transformation and healing in you, and to find our purpose and calling in you. And we lift to you honest and heartfelt prayers of healing and deepening trust in your Son, Jesus. On this third Sunday of Lent, we seek to learn from the prayers in Scripture how to trust in your deep love and care for us and grow in our trust as we humbly ask for your healing touch. So now, O God, I pray over our church the words found in the book of Mark by the man who had leprosy. If you are willing, you can make me clean. May we come to you with this humble and hope-filled posture with whatever is ailing our bodies or souls. So we pray again, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers this morning. As we come to your word, illuminate it now that we might hear what you have to say to each of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Parker. You may be seated. Oh, there it is. Well, good morning. It is so good to be with you once again. We just had such an amazing, amazing weekend. I'm going to see if I can do this. Like, there we go. Da-da-da. We had an amazing weekend over the last couple of days. Thank you so much to all the women who showed up, gave their time. And really, I pray it was such an enriching experience for you. It was for me. And really, I really pray that for your whole church. Well, I'm Melissa Wall. I'm lead pastor at Anchor Covenant Church in Wisconsin. I got to come back here last May, and it is such a joy to be back again. So I keep saying every time I come, I think I'll just see more and more familiar faces. So thank you so much for the invitation, Pastor Ben, to be able to be here this morning with all of you. Well, in our ever-changing world, we communicate in countless ways, through email and texting and instant messaging and social media. And I want you to think of your favorite way to communicate. What's your favorite way to communicate? And do you communicate the same way with everybody? I remember when my brother left for college and my mom was thinking, hey, I can just pick up the phone and call him, and he would not answer his phone. And so she learned that she needed to text with him, and that was the way to communicate with him. Well, it's interesting now that things have shifted. My son is a junior in high school, and he actually likes me to call him, not text him. So it's just interesting how it ebbs and flows. And so what's your favorite way to communicate, and do you communicate the same way with everyone? I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and share that real quick. What's your favorite way, excuse me, to communicate? Go ahead. To pull us back together. Excellent job. Did anybody say pigeons? Or smoke signals? I don't know. But among all the ways to communicate, one that has changed drastically is snail mail, right? Handwritten letters are really a rare treasure these days. Maybe a couple times a year you might put a letter into the mail to put pen to paper, birthdays, anniversaries, maybe Valentine's Day. So are you a card buyer? Or when was the last time you received a handwritten letter? We were walking by the card aisle the other day, and I asked Frederick, I was like, does anybody buy these anymore? I mean, obviously, hopefully, people are still buying them. I like to make cards, and so I don't usually buy them. I like to make them. But handwritten letters are really a gift of words. And this morning, as we open the Word of God, His love letter to us, let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for the gift of your Word. May we not miss what you have for us today. So we ask that you remove any distractions, open our hearts, and tune our ears to hear your voice. And all God's kids said, amen, amen. Well, if you have your Bible, I invite you to open it up to Mark chapter 1. All weekend in the women's retreat, we were in the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to be in that this morning as well. I believe there's NIV translations in the chairs that are in front of you. I'm a visual person. I really like to be able to see what's in my Bible. If you have your Bible here, I encourage you to take notes right in your Bible. Put the date down. Put what God is speaking to you. So the next time you go back to the scripture, you're going to say, oh, wow, this is what God was telling me. Or if you're a note taker, I really encourage you to write a line right down the middle of your notes and on one side to say what you're capturing, what you're hearing today, and then creating. What are you going to do about it? And we're going to do a reflect and respond at the end, and that's going to really lead into that. Well, last week, Pastor Ben preached on prayer of confession, and it was a beautiful response of people that came forward of just asking for healing of confession. And today, we're going to move into this prayer of healing, and maybe even deeper, a prayer of trust and surrender. Because I think every single person in this room is either on one side of healing or the other, either desperately in need of it or carrying the story of loss and grief and the healing for somebody else. And so look with me to Mark chapter 1. We're actually going to look at 35 through 39, then go into verse 40, which is the narration for this morning. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went to an isolated place to pray. After Simon and the others went out to find him, when they found him, they said, "Everybody is looking for you." But Jesus replied, "We must go to the other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. This is why I have come." So he traveled through the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. This is the scripture verse we ended on yesterday at the women's retreat, and we gave a framework for what does it mean to spend quiet time with the Lord. It was an isolation, solitude. It was a specific time and a specific place. Jesus knew that he needed to fill up his own cup to then be able to heal other people. And I love this rhythm of Jesus, of the stepping in and stepping out. Jesus understood his dependence on his Father in the midst of a fast-paced ministry. And fast-paced ministry is especially in the Gospel of Mark. Mark is a lightning-fast author. He just likes to tell it how it is of Jesus doing all these amazing things. He's preaching in synagogues. He's casting out evil spirits. He's healing the sick and ministering to the crowds hungry for miracles. Jesus still made time for solitude, to retreat and to breathe in the presence of the Father. Solitude strengthened him, healed his own heart and mind to then be able to heal others. It prepared him to fully engage with the people he was called to serve. And today's passage gives us a beautiful glimpse into how Jesus, filled with that strength, met one man in his desperate need. Jesus, time and time again, pours out his love lavishly on them. And in today's text, we find, as filled with inner strength, he's now returning to go engage in ministry. And as we're going to look at verse 40, I want you to again read verse 39. It's going to give us context of how Jesus is traveling and preaching. Verse 39. So he traveled through the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. Traveling, preaching, lots of crowds following him. At this point in Jesus' ministry, like, crowds would just be following him wherever he went. And so he always had to be on the outskirts of town. I want you to remember that in just a minute, because it's going to really make this healing of this leper really, really powerful. So now in verse 40, it's going to change from all these crowds to a really beautiful interaction, a one-on-one with Jesus and this man with leprosy. So let's read that text together, and then we'll go through it. Verse 40, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said, "be healed." Instantly, the leprosy disappeared, and the man was healed. Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. "Don't tell anybody about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleaned." But the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. And as a result, large crowds soon followed Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him. The man actively seeks Jesus to find healing. And here we find the man seeking out Jesus. He recognized his need. The man falls at Jesus' feet and pleads with him to heal his diseased body. And I love where Mark places this section of scripture. It's really directly after Jesus has just shown his dependence, his recognition of need on his heavenly Father. And we probably find him falling in the wilderness to pray, in the solitude. So I want you to have that image in your mind of Jesus being in solitude and then now this man coming and falling to Jesus' feet. We find just a few words later, a man falls at Jesus' feet and recognizes his need for the Savior. And in both cases, Jesus and the man recognize their need, their dependence on God in their lives. Verse 40 says, a man of leprosy approached Jesus. Now, this is shocking. And this happens all over Scripture. And if we can understand kind of the biblical context of what's going on here, it really helps us understand how countercultural and shocking and radical that Jesus was. Now, leprosy was a disease. It was a life sentence of isolation. A leper would be cast out of society, forced to live on the outskirts of the city, unavailable to embrace anybody or hold anybody's loved ones or touch anybody anymore. They weren't even allowed to communicate freely. If someone approached, they had to call out, "Unclean, unclean," to warn others to keep them from a distance. But this man does something radical, and Jesus allows it. He breaks the rules, and he seeks out Jesus. He falls at Jesus' feet, and he pleads for healing. He recognizes his need and believes that Jesus has the power to heal him. So as we think about these prayers of healing, maybe you think about a God-sized prayer, something that just seems like absolutely out of anything that you could possibly do. But you recognize your need for healing, maybe physically, spiritually, or emotionally. Restoration for your family, freedom from fear. We can boldly bring these prayers before God. Just like the man in this passage, we can fall at Jesus' feet and ask him for his healing touch. In your series on prayer, dependence on God really is our prayer, right? Thinking through how can we ask God for healing and what does that look like? For this man, it really was this God-sized prayer, something that was far beyond anything he could possibly do. That he could find Jesus and get close enough to ask for a healing. That was really the first part, right? I mean, he wanted to be healed, but he also has to be able to find him because physically he's on the outskirts of town. And so not only is he not well physically, but he's not well emotionally or spiritually. I would guess he's not allowed in the synagogues. He's not allowed in any of the pieces. He wouldn't be allowed in here today if it was this time in that time period. And I love Jesus' response. It's so priceless. So look with me to verse 41. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and he touched him. He said, "I am willing, be healed." The Greek word here is really powerful. It describes this like gut-wrenching emotion, something that stirred so deeply in and it wasn't just a feeling, but it called him to action. So have you ever had that feeling of something that moved you so much with compassion that you just had to do something about it? You could not help but act. Jesus is not only saddened by this man's circumstances, but he's moved to action. What in that causes that kind of emotion in you? Or to know that that kind of emotion is stirred up in Jesus about you. And sometimes the world and the healing that is needed in the world can feel really overwhelming. But I love what Jesus does. He starts with one. He sees one man suffering and he acts. And sometimes it seems overwhelming because the issues are so massive or my healing seems so massive. How could I possibly find healing? What is so powerful about this text is Jesus started with one and made a difference in one man's life. At our retreat, I was really impacted by the stories that I was told of people finding healing or people being able to understand who God was. It was really powerful. One woman shared with me, she said, I had come into the retreat and I had sat with my friends the first day and the second day I came in and I sat down, I was sitting next to somebody I didn't know. And it just happened to be as I was asking different questions that they had this certain thing in common that now this one woman is allowed to and able to walk alongside another woman because of where she sat. It starts with one. What can one little person do? Hannah Breckner is one who also saw the brilliance of showing love to one that multiplied beyond anything she could have ever dreamed. Today, Hannah's resume, you'll find that she has been featured on Wall Street Journal. She's a TED Talk speaker. She's been interviewed by Oprah and featured in several popular magazines. However, this all began a few years back when Hannah wanted to make a difference in one person's life. She had recently moved to New York City and was riding the train one fall afternoon, and she found herself really filled with loneliness, wondering, how can I feel so lonely in such a large city? As she was contemplating her own struggles and emotions, a woman got on the train and sat across from her with a similar look in her eyes and spread across her brow. Hannah hoped the woman would just look up at her. She thought, if she just looks up at me, I'll be able to offer a smile or maybe a word of encouragement. The stranger kept her gaze and on her interlocked fingers on her lap. Halfway through the ride, Hannah pulled out a letter to write to the stranger sitting just a few feet away. As she wrote, she actually forgot all about her own loneliness and what was on her heart, and poured out love to the unknown woman. She became so engrossed in the letter that she looked up, the woman was actually gone. But then Hannah got to thinking, I bet there are dozens of people on this train needing a little encouragement. So she folded the letter, and in front she said, if you find this letter, it's for you. From that point forward, it became a habit. Tuck a letter among the books in the library, leave a letter on a table at a coffee shop, place a letter on a doorknob on the back of a faucet. Stationery filled with hope and encouragement and a reminder that you are not alone. She started with one, a desire to change one person's day, one person's life. Jesus was stirred with compassion to change this man's life. He was moved with compassion, verse 41 says. And then he touched the man. And this is significant, right? Because the man had leprosy. From the Gospel of Luke, we find it was an advanced case, and leprosy was highly contagious skin disease. And during that time, if you were unclean, remember, he would have to walk through and say, unclean, unclean, so that people would stay far away from him. And now Jesus is going to cross that barrier, and he's going to touch the man. When a priest declared someone a leper, they were banished from their home and made to live on the outskirts of town. So think back again to this man's God-sized prayer, right? This man's God-sized prayer for healing by Jesus. The first element of that was impossibility, was actually finding Jesus in the first place. Remember, he's an outcast. He's on the outskirts of town. But where is Jesus? On the outskirts of town. Because there's so many crowds following, he couldn't be in the towns anymore. And so he was always on the outskirts of town. Jesus is where the outcasts are. And so he finds him just basically coming right into his neighborhood, right? Lepers were forced to live on the outside. They had no communication with their families or their communities, no text messages, no WhatsApp, no letters. In verse 45, it says that Jesus had to stay out of towns and into the wilderness in secluded places. And I love that that's where the leper is. So part one of his healing prayer, proximity to Jesus. Check. Got that. And part two, to find healing. My guess is it had been a long while since this man had received any kind of touch or someone meeting him in his humanity. Because by law, if a healthy person touched someone with a disease, they would now be unclean as well. A healthy person would become unclean and unfit to participate in life and in spiritual practices, so these individuals would really be shunned. And at times, healthy people would actually throw rocks at the unclean to keep them at a safe distance. This was this man's reality. This was this man's life. But then Jesus comes along, and he reaches out and he touches the man. And Jesus' touch surpasses the law, and there's such power in human touch, isn't there? And there's coupled with a powerful touch. I want you to have the words that pass between this man and Jesus. There's only a couple, but they stir in my soul. This man falls at Jesus' feet. He recognizes his need for Jesus. And then he says, if you are willing, you can heal me. And Jesus replies, I am willing. Be healed. What faith. The leper actually didn't demand healing, right? He simply says, if you want to heal me. That is a prayer of surrender and a prayer of trust. Not heal me now, or I deserve this. My life has been crazy on the outcasts of town. Please, Jesus, do something about this. But if you are willing, and it's a challenge of trusting prayers, as one of the women shared about surrendering, right? Have you ever prayed like this? God, if you want to, would you heal my body? But even if you don't, I still trust you. God, if you want to, would you open this door? But even if you don't, I will still follow you. That kind of prayer requires deep surrender. It is not an easy prayer. Years ago, in a season of medical uncertainty, I wrestled with a lot of fears. I shared with a women's retreat this last weekend that a while back, about a decade back, I was diagnosed with two brain tumors that just threw our family into a real big storm. Doctors had given us devastating news and surgery was looming, and I had to ask myself real hard questions. Last month, leading up to surgery, we had gone through a roller coaster of emotions. We'd been told that we wouldn't be able to have any more children, that this tumor might be terminal, and that it was a very rare kind of tumor that we could no longer stay with our normal doctors, but we needed to go downtown and find doctors who specialize in this specific type of brain tumor. It seemed every week we were at hospitals for one test or another. It was a trying time for our family and for our marriage. There were countless times of driving in the car after appointments with tears and tight hugs with Frederick, praying we would find answers in God's direction. I wrote a Caring Bridge page all through this season, and this was the entry 2 weeks before surgery. There doesn't seem to be enough moments in the day to fill with laughter with Eric, who was our son, who was about 7 at the time, quiet moments with Jesus, or sharing coffee and conversations with Frederick. Now that we are less than 2 weeks from surgery, it's becoming more real, and I'm trying to focus on having a let's do this mentality and praying protection against fear and placing my trust and my anchor in the storm. Yet honestly, the fears try to creep into every moment of most of my days. And it wasn't until I began asking hard questions, ones my heart was begging to answer, but my lips did not want to form. What if after surgery I'm totally different? What if this doesn't heal me? What if? But then something remarkable happened. My ifs changed. What once was placed on myself was now transformed to Jesus, placing my focus on him and not myself. If you want to, Jesus, make me well. If. But even if you don't, I still know you are God. The man had full faith that Jesus could heal him, yet offered him a choice, your will be done. What if healing doesn't come? It was in that moment that my prayers shifted. Jesus, if you are willing. And that is the essence of thy will be done. It's one of the things we pray in the Lord's Prayer. It's probably a very familiar prayer to you. Your will be done. It is a surrender of our lives. And I love that Jesus' response here, he really echoes the man's prayer. The man in verse 40 says, if you want to, and Jesus says in verse 41, I want to. And in verse 40, the man says, you can heal me, and Jesus says, be healed. Jesus touches the man, restores his dignity, and meets him in the moment, be healed. And now in Old Testament law, if a leper was healed, the very first thing that they needed to do was to go and visit a priest. And so Jesus says, hey, I want you to go right away to go see the priest and make sure that he can confess you are now clean. It was most likely someone that was excommunicated them in the first place. They're going back to that same priest. Then they would now undergo a cleansing ceremony. In Leviticus 14, it talks about all the details and the layers of purification in this ceremony. And once it was complete, after the several-day process, the leper would then be welcomed back to their home. Now, there's a physical healing happening, but can you even imagine the emotional healing that happens when they were welcomed back into their home and into their community? So Jesus tells the man to find the priest so he can fully enter back into all of these pieces of life. Jesus' desire was to restore him both physically and emotionally. Physically by soothing his skin wounds and emotionally by restoring his relationship with his community. It makes sense that Jesus then says in verse 44, go right away to the priest and have him examine you. But then he says, don't talk to anybody along the way, right? Okay, as soon as someone says, don't tell anybody, what do you want to do? Tell everybody, right? Now, I don't think that Jesus is using reverse psychology on this guy at all, but I just think that he had been silenced for so many years, excommunicated and plagued by this contagious disease, silenced from home and community, and he encounters Jesus, and now this story is just burning in his heart, so contagious, he cannot help but tell everybody he meets, guess what happened? I met Jesus, and guess what he did? He healed me. Can you believe it? I met Jesus, and he healed me. And he's so excited, and it says that everybody was amazed at what had happened, and as a result, large crowds continued to follow after him. Isn't that the case with our own lives? We have received a healing touch from Jesus physically, spiritually, or emotionally. We cannot help but share. Just like Hannah, if you find this, it is for you, God's invitation. This is for you, the Bible. Your will be done in my life. As we see God at work and answering impossible prayers, we can't help but share it with other people. Because our lives are transformed and our lives around us will be too. And I think that we have either a story of healing or we may have a story of loss. I shared this story of being healed from the brain tumors with my dear friend, who's now is one of my best friends in Lake Geneva. I was sharing at a retreat, and she came up to me and she said, my brother had a brain tumor as well, and that was not his story. We lost him 5 years ago. And that's a part of the theology that is so hard for me. And I think it's just that we live in a broken world. And why is it that some get healing and some do not? And I think what God has given Kim now is she can walk with people differently than I can. And she gets to walk along people to sit with them in their loss and their grief. And she says every day, I'm so thankful that God healed you. I'm so sad God took my brother. But I'm so thankful that God has given me this story to be able to walk alongside someone else. And it can start with just one. Hannah started with a letter, a chance to change someone's day. Something stirred in her heart, a story to be told. Began writing letters every day and leaving them around New York City, hoping to change people's lives one letter at a time. She decided on letter 400 that she would conclude her letter writing. And on letter 397, a journalist from the Wall Street Journal wanted to document her story. They had interviewed someone who had picked up one of her letters, and it had literally altered the course of their life. This interview shifted the course of history then for Hannah. There are now over 20,000 passionate individuals from across 49 different countries who take a few moments in their day to write a letter to encourage, a letter to heal. Left randomly to be picked up by someone who needs encouragement, if you find this, it belongs to you. Know that this love letter is for us. It really belongs to us, the word of God, and we can find healing in it. And know that Jesus hears our need. Jesus moved to compassion with meet you in your need. The man says, if you are willing, you can heal me. And Jesus replied, I am willing, be healed. And this is a prayer of trust, not heal me now, not I deserve this, but if you are willing, a challenge of trust in our prayers. Have you ever prayed like this? God, if you want to, heal my body, but even if you don't, I will still trust you are God. Or God, if you want to, open this door, but even if you don't, I will follow you. That kind of prayer requires deep surrender. So what do you need to surrender to God today? What do you need healing from or for? Because I really believe every single person in this room is on one side of healing or the other, either in desperate need of it or in carrying a story of healing or story of grief that you get to walk alongside someone else. And the truth is that's really all of us. We are all walking through a broken world that wounds and wears us down. When we surrender, when we invite Jesus into these broken places, his healing presence transforms us. Like the man in scripture who couldn't keep it to himself, we are called to then do the same, to share the story, to walk alongside someone still in that pain we once knew, and to remind them that healing is possible. And so in the chairs in front of you, you have a card. I know this is a practice you do a lot of different times. If you just want to take out a card and you can write something on here of, God, this is what I need healing from. Whether it is a physical healing, a spiritual healing, an emotional healing, this is just between you and Jesus. We're also going to give an opportunity. We really want every week in this series to be able to come and receive prayer. We have recruited a lot of different people for this because we really wanted it to be an opportunity. If you feel you are in need of healing, if this is a moment for you of just saying, I need to come forward and be prayed over, we're going to pray this over you. Jesus, we surrender all that feels broken and weary and heavy, seen and unseen, trusting that your touch heals. Speak over us, be clean and be whole. We surrender all outcomes, resting in your mercy. In Jesus' strong, gentle name, amen. And if you need those words prayed over you by a pastor or someone on the prayer team or leadership team, there's going to be several people up here that are willing to receive you and to pray these healing prayer over you. And so would you pray with me as we prepare our heart to reflect and respond. Jesus, just as the leper knelt before you and said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. We come before you now with the same bold faith and open hearts. We surrender all that feels broken, weary, and heavy. And we place before you every wound, seen and unseen. Trusting that your touch still heals, still restores, and still makes all things new. Lord, you are willing, you are able. Reach out and touch our hearts and minds with your compassion and power. Speak the words only you can speak. Be clean, be whole. We surrender outcomes to you, resting in your goodness. May this moment be an altar where we sense your nearness, experience your mercy, and walk forward in hope. In Jesus' strong and gentle name, amen. We're going to give you several minutes over the next time of Michael leading us in music worship. That if you want to come forward and receive this is a moment you say, I need to have this healing prayer over me. We invite you to do that. There's several people here to pray with you. If you want to remain in your seat and you can just write a letter to Jesus of, Jesus, would you heal me in this way? This is your time with the Lord. Commune with God, and you are welcome whenever you're ready.